Why don't we go ahead and get started? My name is Mayor Brian Treese, and we're in the pre-council session of the City Council here to hear an update on collective bargaining from Local 1055 President T.J. O'Brien. We do have six out of seven council members here, and if it's all right with you, why don't we go ahead and get started? Is that all right with you, Mr. Glasscock? Yep.
All right. On behalf of the Columbia Professional Firefighters, really appreciate you all letting us have this time to come to you. It's a great opportunity that not every local gets, and we know that, and we appreciate this time, and we're going to try and use the best of it to hopefully get everybody to understand where we're at right now. It is important to understand this meeting is a request by us, the firefighters. It's not a mutual request from both collective bargaining parties. It's just from our side, and I think that's important for y'all to know at this point. Our goals are to improve the bargaining process, not only for this year, but all years in the future, to move forward with bargaining and prevent unwarranted and impermissible delays which do not meet the requirements of the Missouri Constitution for a collective bargaining. We also want to improve city and local 1055 relations in regards to negotiation, primarily in collective bargaining, and be in agreement how we move forward for such subjects that are mandatory in bargaining, especially in compensation. So, understanding bargaining, currently the city's team does not appear to understand the Missouri Constitution and case law that's required. For example, when this year started, before COVID, before all of that, generally both parties and by law are supposed to put proposals together, and the city did not put a proposal together. They waited for us, we handed our proposal, and even after COVID, they didn't. What they did is they responded to ours, but they did never provided their own proposals. Normally you have both proposals, you trade, and then you decide which one you're gonna start with and move from there. That never occurred. Further example is counteroffer on items. When you submit an item, you get a counteroffer back. We've not gotten counteroffers, we've just gotten no's. We have provided counteroffers to the requests that we've been given, and that's just a difference between the two parties at this time. We still seem to, on the city side, have a blanket bargaining for all departments, whether it's voiced or it's kind of underlying. It's this: if we do something for the fire department, then we have to do it citywide. And so instead of doing something, we're going to do nothing. And that's, it's just not acceptable. Local 1055, we only represent the fire department. You know, COVID gave us a look at something that we didn't really want to look at, but the fact is we're here. Firefighters are essential. We declared that as a city. The firefighters are the ones that masked up, gowned up, went into the disease homes. They continue to do so to this day to take care of the sick. And we also have to remember that they're doing this not only risking their own lives, but taking that back to their families. And that's a difference that a lot of people don't have. Most people work from their homes, and that's great, and that's wonderful, but that's not what we ask the firefighters to do. We ask them to go in these people's homes and possibly bring that back to their own homes. Further complications, city staff members always have to report back to somebody else and get instructions. And so this creates really lengthy delays, and so you're not actually able to get anything done when you're meeting. There's no opportunity so far in 7 months of bargaining to sit in front of whoever makes the decisions. And so you basically get nothing done. City has not and does not respond back to counter offers, as I said before. Delay issues. City's team's provision is that we'll not discuss, let alone negotiate, items that involve financial considerations, such as increases to compensation. Worse, the city team refused to discuss triggers. And when I say triggers, what I mean by that is we even went to the point of saying, okay, at what point, trigger-wise, will we say, you know what, the economy's bouncing back, or we have this, or we have that? Wouldn't even discuss it. Return nothing. And so we have really tried to understand the delay process, what throws COVID into that, and then establish those triggers, and zero. And that's where we're at. Compensation is mandatory. It's mandatory, and we're not doing anything about it. And I got to tell you, it's not fun to be here right now talking about it. One of the examples we continue to get as well are our budget fluctuates. We get different money at different times and all this kind of stuff. Here's the deal. 90% of the firefighters have fluctuating incomes from the city. We get a 96-hour check, a 120 check, a 140 check. We get vacation time at different times. You lose your overtime. You get all kinds of crazy stuff. We're still able to budget. So it just doesn't work. I mean, we all know what fluctuating incomes are. You know, you move through it. Any business this big should be able to still budget for that. Ways to improve. Only have those with the authority, responsibility to bargain and negotiate, be involved, everybody else out. It's just in the way. Add a city council member to the collective bargaining process. We really think this would be a good thing. It keeps the council in the know at all times. And we'd be fine even with two, whatever it would take. But you're able to see both sides. If somebody's being reasonable or unreasonable, you'll see it. You'll know. And if we need to make necessary ordinance changes to make that happen, okay, do it. We would love to have one or more of you involved in this process. Ways to improve, continued. Everyone look harder at the financials and immediately commence collective bargaining negotiations that comply to the Constitution laws of the state of Missouri. So one of the things the city did is city recently submitted a financial extra to, I guess, help us understand, even though we weren't really looking for this. And one of the points that was brought in their graph, and I don't know if they sent this to you, I'm assuming they did, but it was that we've had a drop in local taxes, cigarettes, gasoline, these kinds of things, and they've continued to drop. Well, when you actually flip to our budget that actually covers the fire department, and the from the left to right, the fourth column is 2020 budget, other taxes, gas tax, such, $0 are allocated to the fire department. So why even bring it up? It doesn't matter. Moving on, this graph was chose 7-month drop in sales tax over time. It's interesting that in this particular example, we show the months that are collected versus the actual months that the money is for. And it's also interesting that we start in January versus starting earlier in October when the actual fiscal year starts. It kind of seems like we're trying to show that everything is, you know, the sky's falling, everything's bad. When you come to the actual city financials, we're right on target. Yes, we've had some drops in different areas. I think it's interesting how the city does its numbers, and not necessarily that the numbers are wrong, but one thing that we did is we retook the numbers and tried to recreate, figure out what's going on. And I jumped ahead a couple of slides because it's important to see. Now, the numbers, 2016, 17, 18, 19, those are all the same. You can double check them. All the totals come out. All of that is right. When you go monthly 2020 versus 2019, you're having a comparison of if you're up or down. If it's in the red, you're down. If you're in the black, you're up. The column that we added that is not on the sheet that you guys watch is the YTD year-to-date 2020 versus 2019. What this is this is a rolling total of how much money, black or red, if you're down. So in October, we had a huge month. We were up. So as you go down and as you had bad months, as you get to April and May, right now we are $178,000 above 2019.
Are those numbers cumulative or you don't total all those up? So
that's basically what you're above or below 2019 as of 2020, each one of those months.
Year-to-date, October through
May.
Correct.
Right. Correct. So as you get to May right now, that's where we're sitting. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in June. And we've had the benefit, again, of October was huge and March was huge in comparison to 2019. The four-year average, we have the same thing, 4 years versus 2020. Again, that's month to month. And then we added the rolling scale. So, yes, comparatively, in a four-year comparison, right now we're down about $350,000, which is about 1.5% as a four-year total. Going back to these, I think what's important watching the month-to-month, as you look at the months in the different years, is basically it's pretty simple and pretty standard for this city. We go up a month, we go down a month. We go up a month, we go down a month. So we've gone down. We would hope that we're coming back up. As you look to the next year-to-date changes, it's pretty standard over the four-year span that we're looking at. We're either 2% above the line or 2% below the line. That's pretty standard. And the big number at the top of this page that I think is so important to look at is the four-year trend, $23 million, $23 million, $23 million, $23 million, $23 million. It's pretty easy to see that we have a good trend. So we have a good idea and we're on par. And that's when you get to the last column, you ultimately right now, we have actually brought in more than we had budgeted for. So we're doing better as that regard. We're at roughly the same place, except we're 175,000 over from when 2019 is. So we're not in as bad of shape. Possible shortfall. So this is one of the responses that we got. Is City Council considered putting new revenue sources? Obviously, that got messed up with COVID-19. And then the final answer down here is because of COVID-19, we anticipate a deficit of $3 million in comparison to the $2.1 million originally anticipated. So in the red, what's important is in May, when we met, we were told we're expecting a $4 million shortfall. I have that on transcript. And so now it's $3 million. So 2 months later, we're down $1 million. So we're expecting, we've improved $1 million over 2 months. That really gives you an idea of where the direction of these things are moving. So I think this is, I can't leave here without talking about this. This is the biggest voice that I get from the members. Number one is our unused, unassigned cash reserve for the general fund. Number one, we're $7.7 million over the 20%. We just had a global pandemic. If we're going to utilize a reserve fund for any type event, I would think it would be a global pandemic. So if we're having issues with compensation or any other type of issues, I would think we would tap into that, even falling below 20%, if that's what it took to take care of our people during a global pandemic. I don't even think we'll touch that $7.7 million. You might get some of it. You might get a big portion of it. But I think we'll still be above $20 million. We still have the ability with that to negotiate actual financial items, especially compensation, to the firefighters. So pay history, if you're not familiar, generally most people understand cost of living is 2 to 3% adjustment. For 10 to 15 years, we had no COLA. Multiply that by 2 to 3%, you're talking 20 to 45%, nothing. Okay, so any raises that we've done or moved, they are an adjustment to try and get back to normal. They're not necessarily a raise or a bonus. Almost every firefighter has a second job to supplement the years of no COLA adjustment. Compensation is our number one issue, without a doubt. For recruitment, retention is the number one. We had a class graduate in March. We've had two leave since then. Okay, now there are varying reasons, but I'll tell you, having pay that keeps them here is important, and that's something that we need to address. General fund reserves were increased and overfunded on the backs of the Columbia Fire Department. I'm not saying they weren't on the backs of others, but they were on our backs. And now is the time to reward the current essential employees who need it and who really took a beating in this last couple of months. City Council asked me when I spoke in October, can we know how much salaries will cost every year? The answer is unequivocally yes. The problem is you have to have a plan that allows you to do that. We provided that plan. The plan will provide exact numbers to finance every single year. And the fact is, when you talk to cities that put in a plan like we have, or counties or states, they will tell you finance is the easiest portion of it once the plan is put in place. It makes it easier on everybody, including us, and it makes negotiations a million times easier. So the benefits of us to understand, we have 9 captains, 27 lieutenants, 36 engineers. Those particular groups, they do not change. We have 9, 27, 36, period. So if you're going to make a change to that, that's something the fire chief's going to do, and he's going to tell you, I need an additional rank of blank, and then that is a different situation. The 59 firefighters are the FTE positions that we have, but we don't necessarily have 59 firefighters at one time because we have those in influx. So the numbers that I have here with the plan that we provided, the reason I'm giving you this number, what this number is we took the pay ranges and we shrunk them down. And so let's say you have 9 captains in varying degrees of where they're at in the pay ranges. The maximum amount of money that would be spent is an additional $39,000. That's for 9 people. And it's the same thing at each one. It's showing that the scale will slide a little bit depending on the year, but total money that you're looking at right now is every year it either goes up $400 and some thousand dollars or somewhere between $0 and $400,000 for all ranks. And so after a 5 to 10 year period, what ends up happening is it recycles. And so that's the benefit of it, is what happens is that high-paying captain retires, lieutenant promotes that position, engineer promotes to lieutenant, firefighter promotes to engineer, and we hire a brand new firefighter at low pay. And so everything then comes down, and we slowly work our way back up, and then it falls back down. And so that's what's important to understand of what we brought. Prior to COVID, again, we couldn't do anything till May or June, which is really delayed. That's something we'd like to change. I think through good actual budgeting, we can right away, at the 1st of January, right away, we can do that. This year, we got pushed back even farther, and it's really created a mess. So compensation, and this is just an example of one item that we brought, and this is what I'm trying to show of not actually bargaining. When you talk about a pay plan, there are so many components to that pay plan, and 90% of them don't cost anything. The first one is the name of the plan. So we called ours a step plan. I end up hearing that people didn't like the name of the step plan. Okay, call it the unicorn plan, call it the ninja plan, call it the pay guideline performance enhancer. I don't care, call it the Columbia Fire Plan. It doesn't matter. Call it whatever you want. The point is that you move down through each one of these. You have ranges, you set the ranges. One of the things we did is our ranges down low were too low and up high they were too high. And so we shrunk them so they're tighter together. And then what we did is we did no overlap, which helps with the problem that we currently have. And so those are all bargaining items. You could bargain, you know what, I want overlap. I want tons of overlap. Okay, I don't understand it, but okay. And you can then move through these different things. How you move in pay. Do you move through yearly? Do you move for a promotion? You know, we can have 9 grades of firefighter to do a promotion every time. That seems, you know, redundant, but we can do it. You can increase pay by percentage or dollars, don't really care. All these things don't cause physical impact to actually set a plan, and here's the plan, and this will improve the problems that we've had in the past. Annual evaluation, same thing. Once you get to funding the plan, that's where you start talking about fiscal money. The best thing about this plan is honestly once you get to funding it, because once you set it in place and you go, this is our agreed upon, then when you come to funding the plan each year, you can decide, do we fund the entire plan? Do we fund the entire plan at a reduced rate of 95% across the board, 85% across the board? It's easy to figure out. That's why this plan is so beneficial. This is just an idea. You know, this is something we could have bargained on and already had done. Name of the plan, grade, overlap or not. This is an example. This isn't exactly what we're looking for, so nobody please take it like this is what they want. I'm just trying to give you an idea of how we could have bargained already and had this done. This is the teacher salary schedule. This is Columbia Public Schools. They already do it. State does it. About everybody does it for this type of job. This is already done. We're not reinventing the wheel. We're just applying it to the fire department in a way that works for the Columbia Fire Department. So what we're looking for is someone who can and will bargain with the local 1055, someone who has the authority and resources to bargain on the spot and not have to get back to us weeks later, someone who recognized the history of NOCOLA for 10 years, and someone who understands the shortcomings of last year's plan that left 33 of our employees receiving less than the individuals who have been here for a shorter time or a lesser rank. We're looking for a city council member or mayor who's skilled in financial matters and allocating funding to join the city's team, to be a valued asset. Looking for the negotiation team to come up with a comprehensive proposal and be prepared to bargain on future items that they deem important. Looking for the city to willing to utilize the reserve funds to actually get things set right for the fire department and get these guys their COLA increases. One item, we brought a funding source. So our total plan salary alone, we're not talking benefits, but salary alone was estimated at $600,000. We brought a $300,000 a year funding source that we are not currently using. And that is to do fire inspection charges that we don't do right now and actually charge for plan reviews. I have the documentations that I can send you if you want to see it. I brought this funding source. What we were told is city council will have to prove it, okay? Take it to them, approve it. We were also told the money would have to be divided amongst other departments. That's not true. You can do that if you choose to do that, but that's still $300,000 coming into the city that was not normally anticipated. So if you need to split it amongst other departments and reduce other departments from the other side, that's all part of, you know, government business.
Can I just ask whether that would involve more personnel?
Yeah.
Or is that something you can do with what you're already,
correct,
with your staffing?
Correct.
That's so you guys would have
staffing.
Time to do that?
Yep.
All right, thank you.
Yep. The question of compensating the fire department over others, I know this would be a big question. Why would we compensate the firefighters and not compensate other people? Number one, we responded to the global pandemic. Not only responded outside, but responded inside, up close, in person, those aspects. And lastly, if anybody thinks this is the greatest compensating job in the world, we're accepting applications, we do a new hire test in October. I guarantee you push them back that way, they're going to be like, mm-mm, I'm not going to do that. So it is, I know it's a tough spot for you guys, but at the end of the day, we need to help out the firefighters. What's more important, a full service city or taking care of the essential employees? I think you guys know the answer to that. It's important that local 1050I be a competitive career for qualified potential applicants. And we do that through good pay. The last thing, and this is a question I have for you all, with our last year's adjustment, because of how it was set up, because there was a technicality that ended up hurting employees, we right now have 33 employees that are making about $8,000 to $10,000 less than employees who are lower rank, been on the department for much shorter time. What do I tell them if we're going to do nothing? Because that's who's calling me every day, saying, why am I making $8,000 to $10,000 less than somebody who's just started in the position and has 5 to 10 years less of time than I do? And that's the question I have for you all. And so if you all have answers, I'd love to hear it. And if you have questions for me, please answer.
President O'Brien, with respect to,
sure,
and first of all, the charter prohibits council members from engaging in collective bargaining, but I do have some questions for you. With respect to your slide that had the non-economic,
sure,
request, did you get any response back from the city for those non-economic proposals?
We didn't get a response back. It was, we're not discussing fiscal items. And so it's like, well, there's more to this. This is a plan. It's like, well, we can't discuss it because we don't know what our numbers are going to be. And so that's the problem, is we can't, again, because we have to bring like this total package, and what they're wanting us to do is they're wanting us to each line go, here's what we want, and then we'll tell you yes or no. It's like, that's not bargaining.
Right.
So to answer your question, no, we have
they
not.
Ever, did anyone in the collective bargaining process ever refer to this as meet and confer?
No.
Mr. Glasscock, is it a policy of the city manager that if we do something for the fire department, we have to do it for the rest of the city employees?
No, we did something different last year, I believe, for police.
Is it a policy of the city council that if we do something for the fire department, we have to do it for the rest of the city employees?
I don't believe it's a policy, no.
Why would HR use that as an excuse not to engage in good faith
collective
bargaining?
We've done that over historical times, yes.
But it's not your policy, and it's not the city council policy?
It's not a policy by the council, no.
Okay. Mr. O'Brien, what is your opinion about having collective bargaining sessions open to the public, like at a public meeting, posted, where anybody could participate?
I would have to ask our lawyer to see what his recommendation would be for that. I mean, we don't necessarily have anything that we're hiding or anything like that, but that would have to be something I would have to ask his recommendation of where to go for that.
Any other questions of Mr. O'Brien? Yeah.
Yeah, just a question. Trying to assess the information that you provided here, it sounds to me like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds to me like what you're looking for is the implementation of a plan or the structure of a plan, and as it relates to fiscal issues, ultimately at the end of the day, once the plan is in place, then the adjustments can be made across the board. You mentioned something about those the 95% or 85% or 75% funding. Is that correct? Am I understanding that properly?
Yes. So if you implement the non-fiscal items that, here we go, here's what we agree on collective bargaining wise, then each year it gives us the ability. Now, obviously, we would love to have a plan that's just set and every year, you know, it moves up. But we understand where the city's at in that in that request. And so if it was needed to, every year we essentially collective bargain on the financial side of it, we would be willing to do that. Now that just increases that we have to do it, but we could essentially this year, we could do exactly that and at least get the plan put in place, get some compensation moving the right direction, and start getting these folks adjusted. And that's what we're looking for.
And just a question for the city manager. So there was a reference as well to an additional $300,000 in additional fees and so on and so forth that would need the approval, obviously, of the city council. Is that in the works? Is that reviewable? Will that be?
I don't believe we're raising any fees at all this year. That would be part of the fees that you would look at throughout. I think it's in the community development end of it where we charge those fees.
But it would be a kind of embedded in the discussions of the budget discussions that we're having.
Yes. But I don't believe we're raising any fees.
And so this is currently, we're not really receiving a fee for when we do inspections. They get a business inspection, but they don't get a specific charge for the fire inspection.
And you said site plan as well or something?
Site plans as well. So they do a site plan, but they don't actually get a charge for the firefighting site plan, which has all the sprinkler systems and everything that's required by fire codes. One of our fire inspectors goes and does all the site plan reviews, which takes a lot of time, and then all the inspections are done between the fire marshal's office and then all the troops on the ground as well.
I think it's rolled into the fees in community development.
Any other questions for the speaker?
Is that done in other cities, like a separate fee?
Yep. Generally, there's a business inspection fee for the fire side, and then obviously.
But you could break all those fees out. We do fire inspections, sewer inspections. I mean, but we roll them all together into a collective fee for development.
But then those fees don't go back to the departments that
you don't break it back. They've gone into the general fund just like, and then broke back out. Some of the things that we do, that's part of the, I believe, the 75%. We try to collect fees to cover those type of things in community development. But I can go back and check.
Maybe one other question that I had. Historically, you've clarified the idea that it's not necessarily council policy to treat all departments the same. Though I recall lots of discussions that, we have done that in the past, and it was a principle that I think several city managers have followed in terms of equity and fairness and so on. Is it safe to assume, or am I correct in assuming that these COLA increases that were pointed out here are also not shared by the rest of the?
I just received this presentation when you all got it, so I haven't looked it over yet, Mr. Scala, so it'd be difficult for me to comment on.
Anybody else? Thank you.
Thank you all for your time.
Thank you.
That was all the open sides. Closed
okay,
meeting.
So now we're supposed to go into closed session.
Well, and that's it in 1A, 1B?
Oh, we're moving.
Motion.
Hang on, you need to do a motion and
yep.
A second. Do you
so
have
I'll
that
move,
paperwork?
Do I have that paper? Yes.
Did we go into closed session?
I move that the City Council of the City of Columbia, Missouri immediately go into a closed meeting to discuss the hiring, firing, disciplining, or promoting of particular employees by a public governmental body when personal information about the employee is discussed or recorded as authorized by Section 610.021, Paragraph 3 of the Revised Statutes of Missouri, and to discuss individually identifiable personnel records, performance ratings, or records pertaining to employees or applicants for employment as authorized by Section 610.021, Paragraph 13 of the Revised Statutes of Missouri.
And that'll be in 1A, 1B. I'm not sure I had that in there.
Okay.
Second.
Need a second.
Mr. Pitzer, second.
All right, I made the motion in a second. Mr. Pitzer.
Mr. Pitzer.
Yes.
Ms. Peters?
Yes.
Mr. Treese? Ms. Fowler?
Yes.
Mr. Trapp?
Yes.
Mr. Scala?
Yes.
Mr. Thomas?
Yes.
Now you can go into closed session.
Okay.
Thanks, Sheila.